Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh,
the word of God says, "I
He looked at us. He said that he will draw all men unto him. It is time for men and women, boys and girls, to lift up the name of Jesus. Time for them to be saved, delivered, and to make free. The Bible says, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. I am your radio host this morning, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the preacher of the hour of power preacher for this day. I want you to know today that this is the day that the Lord has made, and we must rejoice and be glad in it. We're going to get to the scripture reading today. We're going to be coming from the book of Jonah, and we're going to begin at that first chapter. We're going to be talking about Jonah's commission and how Jonah flees from God. Is there anybody out there today that is fleeing from God? It tells us in that first verse, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah arose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, therefore, and went down unto it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's stop there. We see here that God, the word of God, had came to the prophet of God. See, God's speaking to his people today, even as he's spoken to Jonah. But the word of God says it came to Jonah. And God had given him a commission. He gave him a command. And he told Jonah to arise, to get up, and to go to Nineveh. I believe that the Lord is speaking to the men and the women of God today. And God is saying to the men and the women of today to arise. Wherever you may be sitting, you need to arise. Wherever you may be lying down, you need to arise. You need to obey. You need to go for me. So here in the second verse, God is telling Jonah to arise. In other words, he wants to see some action. He wants him to get up, to go to Nineveh. And he's saying, not only to go to Nineveh, but I want you to go to Nineveh because Nineveh is a great city. And I want you to cry against it. See, the word of God says to cry loud and to spare not. Because God is telling him that this great city, that wickedness has come up before God. The wickedness, their sins have come up before God. And God is telling us even today that the wickedness of the people have come up before him. And it is time for the men and women of God to rise up and go to where wickedness is. They need to go where things are being defiled. They need to go where the lying is and the fornicators and the homemongers and those that are not saved. God wants his people to go into these places. So God told him to go and to cry against it. He wanted to send a message to those that are living in unrighteousness, living in sin, those that have not repented of their sins and their transgressions. But God is speaking here to Jonah, and he said, but Jonah rose up. He did rise up now. But he rose up to flee unto Tarshish and from the presence of the Lord. Have you ever been in a situation that God has told you to do certain things for his glory and for his honor, and then you go in another direction from the presence of the Lord. This is what Jonah did. Instead of him getting up and going to Nineveh, he decided, no, I'm not going to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Nineveh, but I'm going to go another way. So he went from the presence of the Lord. He decided he would go down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And he decided, I'm going to pay this fare, and he went with them. He went from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind unto the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the ware that was in the ship unto the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down unto the side of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. Listen to this. Listen what God is saying to you this morning. Listen what God was saying to Jonah in this area, this time. So he was disobedient to God. So God telling him to go down to Tarshish, to go down to Nineveh, but then he decided, I'm going to go into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But don't you know that God knows how to get your attention? Don't you know how that God knows where you are at the time you in your being disobedient to God? Don't you know that you can't flee from the presence of God? Even you may, you know, no matter where you may be, you need to know that you cannot flee from God, from the presence of God. So the Lord sent out a great wind. He knew exactly where his man was. He knew where the prophet was. He knew that you are fleeing from my presence, but I'm not finished with you. I have a commission for you. I need you to go down to Nineveh, and I need you to cry to these people for their wickedness. So therefore, God calls this great wind to come about unto the sea. And there was a big and a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. They began to have problems. Jonah was on this ship. The men and women, the men that was on the ship, they hadn't done anything. God hadn't sent them to Nineveh. But the man of God that God had called to go to Nineveh, God had called him, so he thought he was fleeing from the presence of God. So God called this mighty wind, this great wind, and the sea to come upon the sea and upon this boat that they were in. And it let us know that it wasn't just a boat, but it was a ship. And God began to deal with the situation. Don't you know that God will deal with every situation that is confronting us today? When we, whether good or bad, God will deal with every situation that is upon our lives, that we come upon. There is every reason that God knew that he wanted this man of God. He didn't send any other prophet, but I need to deal with you. Not only do I need to deal with the Ninevites, but I need to deal with you, Jonah. So therefore, they began to have problems on the ship. So therefore, the mariner was afraid and cried during that fifth great. It said the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the ware that were in the ship unto the sea, to lighting it of them. They was trying everything that they could. They was throwing things from off the ship so that they would possibly cause the ship to be lightened, that their lives would not be in danger. But Jonah was going down. See, Jonah, he knew what he had done, but yet he is taking his sleep. Jonah is resting. Jonah is on the ship, but he had gone fast asleep. The men that was on the ship, they were up trying to keep alive. But yet Jonah, he was in a peaceful state, and he was asleep. And so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sea? Why are you sleeping?" And that's what I believe that the Lord is saying to the people of God. Why are you sleeping? Don't you see the turmoil? Don't you see the wickedness? Don't you see what the people are experiencing? Don't you see that souls need to be saved? Don't you see that lives need to be changed? So therefore, he wanted to know, why are you sleeping, Jonah? Why are you sleeping? Arise. He even telling him what God had told him to arise and go to Jonah, to Nineveh. The shipmaster is telling him, arise, and he called upon your God. If so be that God would think upon us that we perish not. We have some crisis here. We have a problem here. It's not time for you to sleep, but just time for you to awake. It's time for you to call upon your God. And that is what God is saying to the people of God. There's a crisis all over the world. There's a crisis in your community. There's a crisis in your state, in the city. There's a crisis in the world, and God needs people to wake up out of sleep and to call upon their God. Just as God, as the shipmaster, wanted Jonah to get up, to wake up and call upon his God, because they did not want to perish. And they said, everyone to his fellow, then the seventh verse, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whom cause this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Isn't that something? Out of all of the men that was on that ship, when they cast the lot fell upon Jonah. And they knew that Jonah was the problem that was aboard, the problem that was on the ship, the problem that was causing all this despair upon this ship. And they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us? What is thy occupation? Now, they want to know, they didn't ask him, what did he do before he came on the ship? But because of the fact that he had caused them so much problem, and they were afraid that they were going to die and not live, and they don't cast lots and find out that Jonah is a problem, they knew exactly who to go to. And then they want to know what was his occupation and where cometh thou. And what is thy country? Where you come from, Jonah? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the land and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. They want to know why. Why are you fleeing from the presence of the Lord?
And that's what God is saying to the people of God, those that know him, those that know righteousness, those that know that Jesus Christ is the hope of glory, those that have been called with a holy calling. Why are you fleeing? Why are you turning your back on God? Why are you don't want to be in God's presence? Why is it that you don't want to be obedient to the calling of God? So Jonathan had already told him that he was fleeing from the presence of God. And then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee? What shall we do? You are causing us problems. Our life is in jeopardy, and you are the cause of a problem, but what shall we do that the seed may be calm? Because they knew that the sea was such in a high tempest because of Jonah. And then they want to know, what can we do? For the sea wrath was temperate. And he said unto them, listen to me. He said, men, he said, this is what he said. Listen, men, women of God, boys and girls, people out there that in the United States of America, whether you're from Jacksonville, Atlanta, Georgia, New York, Colorado, Texas, wherever you may be, this is what in that 12th verse. And he said unto them, take me up, cast me forth unto the sea, so that the sea be calm. The sea will be calm unto you. For I know that for your, my sake, that this great tempest is upon you. So John is telling, in order to cause the sea from keep raging, in order to cause the sea from being in high tempest, you need to take me up. Yes, you found the problem. I am the problem. You see, I'm running from the presence of God, but you, if you take me up, come on, if you take me up and you cast me unto the sea, that he knew that their trouble would be over. He said, cast me forth unto the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. But I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, there in the 13th verse, it says, the men rowed, he said, rowed harder to bring it to land, but they could not for the sea. See, it wasn't just a sea, but they was dealing with God. God was not going to let Jonah to stay on that boat. He was not going to let Jonah be in his ease. He was not going to let Jonah think that he could flee from the presence of the Lord when he got ready to flee from the presence of the Lord. So the men did not want to cast Jonah into the sea. They kept rowing. They kept doing everything that they could in order to take that ship and take control of the ship. But the tempest was against them. Therefore, they cried unto the Lord. Come on, come on. It's time that we cried unto the Lord. See, that's what God told Jonah to do, to go to Nineveh and to cry against their wickedness. So it was a simple thing for him to do. When you have been given a command of the Lord to go and to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God, because when you preach it, some soul is going to be saved. Lives will be changed when we preach that word of God. So, therefore, he told them to cast him unto that sea. They tried to not cast him unto the sea. So therefore, when they see that they could not prevail, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. They knew what they were getting ready to do. They knew what they had to do. They knew that they had to be obedient to God. They knew that they could not continually to keep Jonah aboard and stay alive. Sometimes when we have sin in our lives and we don't obey God, it can cost our lives. John was disobedient to God, and all unrighteousness is sin. So therefore, God, man, although he was disobedient prophet of God, God was not going to let him stay on that ship and be at rest. People of God, I ask thee today to think about what God is saying to you. He is saying to you that you must go and be about my business. And I'm not going to let you rest. I'm not going to let you be in comfort. I'm not going to let you sleep because of the fact that you have disobeyed me. And when we disobey God, we can bring havoc and wreak havoc upon other people's lives. Jonah was causing these men on this ship to their lives could have been taken if they did not obey. They knew that it was a time that they had to obey. And even as Jonathan told them to cast him into the sea, they knew that it was time to do it. They didn't want to do it, but they went before the Lord God. They prayed to God. They didn't want Jonah's blood to be upon him. So therefore, in that 15th verse, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth unto the sea. And the sea ceased from raging. Do you hear what I said? They cast Jonah unto the sea. See, they were getting rid of the problem. They were getting rid of the cause of them having problems with that ship and with the loss of the men's lives, not only the shipmaster, but the people that was on that ship. We can cause people's lives to be taken when we don't preach the word of God. We can cause people to die and go to hell, when we do not preach the word of God, when we do not tell the sinner that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's time for us to shine. It's time for us to go forth. It's time for us to lift up our voices and preach the word of God. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. It stopped raging. It stopped from them having to roll and to cast things off and put things and throw things off because of the fact they were, God had his man, and they were obedient because they knew that Jonah had the answer. Throw me overboard, and you won't have to continually to have the problem of the raging of the sea. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared. He didn't just, listen here. Let me read that 17th verse. It says, and the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of a fish 3 days and 3 nights. God didn't just throw him aboard. He didn't just have the men on that ship to throw him aboard. But he had prepared for Jonah, for a fish to swallow up Jonah. And in the word of God tell us that Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. Oh, my God. Men and women of God, what would it cost you because you won't preach the word of God? What it would cost you because you won't do what God has called you to do? Jonah, the man of God, the preacher of God, was in this belly of the whale, the belly of his fish, for 3 days and three nights. Could you imagine being swallowed up? The fish didn't bite him, didn't try to eat him, but God had specially called this, ordained this thing to happen. I'm going to give you some time to thank Jonah, since you don't want to go where I call you to go, since you don't want to do what I call you to do. You see, Jonah didn't want to go because he didn't want God to really to save these people, because he knew these people, the Ninevites, was wicked people. They did some terrible things. They lived the life of sin. They took lives. They scalped the people, and they did things that was ungodly. And when people do things that are ungodly, God let them do it for a time. But then the Bible let us know that warning come before destruction. And God sent this man of God. He wanted to send this man of God to go to this place because he didn't want to destroy these people. He wanted to have mercy upon them. But God knew that if I don't let them know and warn them and let them know what I'm about to do, then all of these people were going to be destroyed. Come on. That's what God is saying to the people of today. That's what God is saying to the preachers and the teachers and the evangelists, those that are saved, those that say, Lord, forgive me for my sins coming to my heart. Those that God is speaking for those that say that they love God, to go forth and to preach the word, to tell somebody that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Jonah did not want these people to live. He wanted them to be destroyed. The Bible says, for God so loved the word in that New Testament. It says, for God so loved the word that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You ought to want to see people saved, delivered, and made free. God has given us the tools of his word. He's given us understanding. He's given us that wisdom and knowledge. He converted us. He changed us, because when we look at it, we were all sinners saved by the grace of God. It wasn't because we were so good. It wasn't because we were so kind. It wasn't because we was the greatest of the greatest. But because he saved us because he loved us. He saved us because he wanted us to be born again. Like he told in Nicodemus, that ye must be born again. But when we began to look at Jonah, he had time to think about what he was going to do. He had time to be with God. So sometimes we don't take time to be with God. God's going to give us some time to be with him, whether we like it or not. If you, in your mind, you're saying that, oh, no, I'll do it at another time. Oh, no, this is not for me. Oh, no, I'm not going. Oh, no, they ought to know how to live right. Oh, no, they should not be sinning. Oh, no, they should not be transgressing. Oh, they ought to not be liars and homemongers. They should not be prostitutes. They should not be wine dealers or drunkards or dope dealers. Let somebody else tell them. They got many Bibles. They ought to read the Word of God. They've heard the Word of God before. Let somebody else tell them. That's their fault. Let them die and go to hell. That is not what the love of God, that God wants on the inside of his people. We're talking about a person, a man of God. We're talking about somebody that God has called to go forth to the nation, go forth and to deliver his people, to let them know that God was displeased and that God had seen the wickedness. Yet, Jonah, because of the fact that he did not want to go and stand and proclaim God's word to a people that was about to be destroyed, God had him in this setting. He had him at this time in the belly of the whale, in the belly of a fish. And now, Jonah, you're going to spend some time with me. I'm going to let you think about what you didn't do. I'm going to let you think about your selfishness. I'm going to let you think of your disobedience to me. Even as I want the people and wanted you to go to Nineveh and have the people to repent, now you need to repent. You need to be obedient to the Most High God. So here we find that when we began to look at the Word of God, and we began to look at that in that second chapter of Jonah, we see that Jonah began to pray. What is it that's going to make you begin to pray? What is it that's going to make you go before the Lord? What is it that's going to get your attention, that's going to cause you to pray like God wants you to pray? It says in that first verse of the second chapter of the book of Jonah, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord, his God, out of the fish belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. I'm going through something, God. I'm going through something. I'm in this belly of this fish. I'm in a affliction. I don't want to be here, God. He probably was a present distress. But yet God calls him to be in a position of what many people are in today. He let them know that they need their God. They need to know God. So here, he says, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. He even compared it to like being in hell. There's a place, I don't think too many people have been. I never really read that nobody but Jonah was in the belly of the fish because God had prepared him to be in there, and because the prophet of God, the man of God, he began to pray. And he said, he cried. He was in the belly and of the fish. He said he cried, and thou heard his voice. He said, but thou hast cast me unto the deep in the midst of the sea. My God, look at what the man of God, he had time to think about what he did. And the floods come past me about. All thy billows and thy waves pass over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. It's time for us to look to God. It's time for us to get closer to God. It's time for God to have recourse in our lives. It's time for us to know our God and to be obedient to God. I'm crying, I'm calling, I am preaching to the nation. I'm preaching to the people of God. I'm preaching to the men and the women of God. I'm preaching to whoever you are this morning that hear my voice. I'm preaching to you. And to hear what God is saying through the man of God. In that fourth verse, he says, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again towards the holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The death closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. He's telling by the experience. The thing that he almost thought that he was in hell. I mean, the thing that would happen is compared, he was not in hell, but yet the things that he had was experiencing. So can you imagine you in the belly of a fish and all the things that may be inside of that fish that's on you? And he's talking about the weeds were wrapped about his head. He said, I went down to the bottom of the mountain. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet has thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came up unto thee, unto thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanity forsake their own mercy. Can you imagine all the thoughts that could be going through his mind? He didn't have to be there. Sometimes things happen in our lives that does not need to happen, but because of our disobedience unto God, because our refusal to obey God. It is because of the fact that we won't go when God has called us to go. But he said in that night, but I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation, listen, salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish. Shall I read this again? The Lord spake. It wasn't Jonah. But the Lord, after he had to pray, after he said, I'm going to make my vow, I will pay that I have vowed. He admitted that salvation is the Lord. God is the only one that saves. He's the only one that delivers. And he said, the Lord spake unto the fish, and vomit out Jonah upon dry land. What is it that is in your life today that you need God to deliver you? Are you that disobedient preacher? Are you that disobedient evangelist? Are you that disobedient teacher of God? Are you that disobedient Christian that are not going forth and telling others about Jesus and keeping them from the very pit of hell? Until Jonah decided to obey God, until he had repentance in his heart, until he could see clearly what God wanted him to do and to do and to repent and to get right in his heart. He touched the heart of God. And God called that fish. God spoke to that fish. It didn't tell us what kind of fish it was, but it spoke to that fish. And it didn't. And that fish vomited out Jonah. Could you imagine what happened when you vomit things up? What comes up out of you when you vomit things up? it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. He got a few, delivered him from the water, and he vomited him and put Jonah on dry land. We're going to continue in our preaching this word on tomorrow. And we're going to start at Jonah, the third chapter, and that fourth chapter. And we're going to bring conclusion to what God is saying to his men and women of God, to the boys and girls that know him as their personal Savior. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. If you're listening and you're not saved, and if you're listening and you're a preacher or a teacher or a believer, I want you to repent even now. I want to pray for you that you will be obedient unto the call of the Most High God, that you will get in line with the plan of God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, even as we pray, God, we ask thee now, Lord, to look upon the preachers of your word. Look upon the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, Lord God, that you have called to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God. God, look upon those believers, God, that you have called to make a difference. Because, God, you said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So, Father, we ask thee, God, even as you have called Jonah to go forth for you in that first and second chapter, we pray even now, God, that you would touch these men and women of God, boys and girls, that they'll go forth and they proclaim your word. And Lord, even now, God, we pray that a repentance be upon them. God, that they repent of their reluctance, of their unwillingness, of their disobedience of not going before you and going for you. Father, I pray even now, God, that you would touch them, Lord God. Forgive them for their sin, Lord, even now. And Father, cast their sin into the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. Call them, God, to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away. That old mind, oh God, renew that heart, renew that mind, God, even now. Call them, God, not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by renewing of their mind. Renew the mind, God, even now. Lord, God, do it, God, according to your word. And, Father, I thank you, Lord, even now. And, Lord, God, even there are people out there in and around and that hear the sound of thy servant. And I see, Lord, even now, Father God, in Jesus' name, those that are not saved, God, those that don't know you as their Lord and Savior, God, prick their heart, even as we have preached this word this morning. God, touch their heart. God, that they will know you as the true and the living God, that they'll know you as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, first and the last, that they'll know you, God, as the true and the living God. I pray even now, Lord God, that you will forgive them for their sins. God, that you will come into their heart. God, you said that we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised them from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. So, Lord, even now, Lord God, we give them to you that their soul, everyone that prayed that prayer, to ask you to forgive them for their sins, to come into their heart and to save them. I thank you, Lord God, even now, for saving and delivering them and for making them free in the mighty name of Jesus. This has been a glorious morning. This has been a glorious day that we had the opportunity to come before the Most High God. And we want you to join us on tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock for the Breakthrough Hour of Power with your host, Reverend Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. As we go through the Word of God, so that God can energize you, strategize you, set you before Him, that you will be armed in righteousness, that you will be ready to go back with Him at the appointed time. God bless you, and have a God-blessed day.